Before we get started, a special thank you is in order to our friends over at Stanley Customs. Stanley Customs creates amazing custom sports figurines for all you athletes out there. Right now, our listeners will get 15% off their order, and all interviewees will get 25% off their order simply by going to Stanley_Customs on Instagram and telling them that Globally Ballin sent you. Thank you. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Globally Ballin podcast, a product of the Globally Ballin podcast network. We have a fantastic interview for you today, so sit back and enjoy, and thank you all for joining us one more time. Here's the music. I gotta let you go. Finish the game with a broken hand.
Yeah, finish the game with...
I'm Rio 2016 silver medalist and Asian Games 2018 gold medalist.
Young man, how do you use a celebrity for good? You know, up until that point, most of us as athletes were taught on it, use the celebrity to manipulate, to get a girl, to get famous, to get whatever it is.
We're hours away from kind of the nearest hospital. He ended up losing his leg over.
I don't think a lot of people know the opportunities there are actually to play overseas, especially in the women's category.
Actually broke my neck. I was paralyzed from the waist down, and I was never supposed to walk again, much less be able to play football again.
Had a couple guys get robbed at gunpoint, and one of them was just like, "Jay, get me out."
At the same time, there are some who would still keep their 9-to-5 jobs because the pay for being an athlete isn't enough.
Don't complain when we look like idiots abroad in these big tournaments.
What league or country gave you the best pay contract-wise?
Probably Turkey, my last season.
Okay. Hi, everybody. Credit where credit's due. We ended 2019 on a great note, and at that time, our most popular episode was professional volleyball in the Philippines with Angeline Hervacio from the Philippines. She was the most popular episode, and Patricia Bright was right behind that. So they had great stories. Then we released our new episode January 1. Actually, I think it was after midnight. So January 2, maybe. And that was with... He was with Kai Howard, professional basketball player in Luxembourg, spent some time in Lithuania, played for NJIT, broke my heart when he beat Michigan. So if you haven't heard that one, make sure you go back and listen to Kai Howard. Great story, fantastic interview. But Kai Howard smashed our record. And so shout out to Kai and your family and your friends and the people that are interested in your story and everybody who passed that along. You started off 2020 on a huge bang. So shout out to Kai for right now the most popular episode in our podcast series. So for today's episode, we are again doing basketball, and this time it's basketball in the United States. We're looking at a league. It's, you'll actually hear in the interview, it's, you can't really classify it pro or amateur. And we'll get into those details in the conversation. But we're looking at the ABA, American Basketball Association. Now, a little bit of information first. For any of you older listeners, you're probably a lot more familiar of the older ABA, the original ABA. In the 60s and 70s, there was the American Basketball Association. And I'm just giving you the basic background here. I'm no expert on what the ABA was, but in the 60s and 70s there was the American Basketball Association, the ABA. Became famous with their red, white, and blue basketball, their creation of the three-point line, and their rock star Julius Erving. Eventually, the teams in the ABA either folded or merged with the NBA. That's where we get teams. That's where we got teams that still exist in the NBA today, like the Denver Nuggets, Indiana Pacers, New York Nets, and the San Antonio Spurs. However, that league eventually folded after the merger. And what happened was, later on in the 2000s, this league was started up again under the same name, the ABA, the American Basketball Association. And currently now, there's over 100 teams in the ABA spanning across the entire country. Currently in the league as it is, there's teams in the ABA spanning from Hawaii to the East Coast, and essentially every state in between. Not necessarily every state, but basically every state in between has an ABA team, and there's plenty of cities with more than one. Like I'm looking at the list right now. Las Vegas looks like has two. San Diego has three. I'm not going to go through this whole list, but you know, Philadelphia has two, that kind of thing. Now, the interesting part about the ABA is there might be a team or a brand and a team name, but they might not be active, which makes things even more confusing. That's where the ABA is confusing, especially for somebody who's kind of just dipping his toe into the water of the ABA like I'm doing right now. A lot of this is confusing, and I'm based in Michigan, and there's a couple teams in Michigan that I've never heard of, and maybe that's because they're not active, maybe it's because I'm not active enough, who knows. But there's the ABA in and of itself is a massive topic that we'll slowly make our way into, but it'll take a lot of time to fully understand what the ABA is, because as you're going to hear in the conversation, there's like 100 teams, and the requirements aren't quite as strict, you get a vast difference in what a team looks like, how they're run, how successful they are, how long they last, and among many other things that make teams different. The other thing about the ABA that is either a good thing or a bad thing, I'll let you guys kind of decide, is that in the past 8 years, the Jacksonville Giants have won 6 times. You're talking about a league with over 100 teams. The Jacksonville Giants have won 6 out of the last 8, including the last 4 championships. The other 2 out of the 8 were from a team from Shreveport, the Mavericks. They won 2 back-to-back. And one of those years, when they won in 13 and 14, they beat the Giants, the Jacksonville Giants. So the Jacksonville Giants have been in 7 of the last 8 championships and won 6 of those 8. Now you think, if this was a league with 30 teams, that's really impressive. That's historic. That's probably the best franchise of all time. You're winning 6 out of 8 and you're showing up to 7 out of 8. That's probably the best franchise of all time. Now multiply that size of a league by almost 4. And then you're getting teams with the same amount of championship wins. That's where the question comes, is this a good thing for the league or a bad thing for the league? And I admittedly did not include this in the interview because I forgot to ask it, but I messaged our guest afterwards, and so I'll touch on his answer at the end of the interview when I kind of close out the interview. But keep that in the back of your head. What do you think? Do you think that that's a good thing or a bad thing, having a team in a league this big showing up to 7 out of the last 8 and winning 6 out of the last 8? So think about that. That brings us to our guest. Our guest today is the owner of the Akron Aviators, a team in Akron playing in the ABA, Brian Essence Collins. I'm not going to talk about his background. He'll do that for us. But he is the owner and operator of the Akron Aviators, and he's going to give us a great background on what it looks like to be an owner in the ABA, and then he's specifically going to break down the Akron Aviators for us. The reason we're going to have to continue to visit the ABA kind of as a show is that Brian can't honestly speak for every team. That's only fair. He can't speak for every other team. And you'll even see in our conversation that since it's so big and since money can be kind of tight, there's a real chance that his team isn't going to play the vast majority of teams on the West Coast because of travel and such. And so he really honestly can't speak for a lot of those teams. So eventually we'll get teams from different areas to kind of speak up and talk about their experiences in the ABA and stuff like that. But for now, we're having our first voice of the ABA, Brian Collins, talk about his team, the Akron Aviators, and the ABA in general. He actually does have another role. He's on the board with the ABA, and he's the director of Fusion Marketing. So we're not necessarily just talking to an owner. We're talking to somebody who, yes, owns an ABA team and also has a foot in the higher-ups of the ABA. So enjoy our interview with Brian Collins. Thank you, Brian, for your time. It was a fantastic interview. I'll say that there is a part that I want to talk about real quick, and that's where I tell Brian, hey, I'm just going to tell you everything I've heard that was negative, because I think that's important. In the past episodes, ABA has come up in the past, and we've had good voices. Well, not really. We've had mostly, for the most part, negative voices about the ABA with the people that we've interviewed. And so I said that to him, and I said, you know, Brian, this is what I've heard about the ABA through my research. And I just poured it all out there, and I kind of joke about it afterwards. It was really hard to say to him because it seems really, really rough and really mean. But he is going to address all those negatives. He's going to maybe spin some of them, and maybe he's going to explain some of them, and maybe he'll let some of them sit there and say, yeah, that is a problem. So enjoy our interview with Brian Collins, owner of the Akron Aviators, and so much more. So enjoy.
Hey everybody, this episode is brought to you by an additional sponsor. We are now also brought to you by Creating Young Minds. Creating Young Minds is a nonprofit out of Lewisville, Texas, right outside of Dallas. You may remember we've had an episode in the past with the founders of Creating Young Minds, Dr. Shira Ackerman and Coach Mathis Crowder. Creating Young Minds strives to help young men achieve success in their life where they may not have otherwise achieved that success. One way they do this is through their new basketball team, the Lewisville Yellow Jackets, affiliated with Creating Young Minds, play in TBL, the basketball league. And through a combination of their nonprofit as well as their basketball team, Creating Young Minds and the Lewisville Yellow Jackets are doing their best to bring the European model of basketball to the United States. That is Creating Young Minds. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, basically everywhere. Find Creating Young Minds, check them out, see what they're all about. And when the TBL league rolls around once again, keep an eye out for the Lewisville Yellow Jackets. Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
So far, so good.
Good. All right. So my name's Aaron, and my company is called Globally Ballin', like I said. Just to kind of get started, I'll kind of give you an idea of what we've been doing. We started a podcast back in last July, and the whole idea was kind of spotlight leagues, so cover leagues and then spotlight teams and opportunities and then tell player stories. And we've done that through a number of podcasts since then, and we've done men and women's sports in the United States and outside. Our only stipulation is that we don't focus on the big ones, so we don't talk about NBA or any of that stuff, because there's 1,000 people for each one of those leagues, and that's worthless. So we don't mess with that at all. And the other reason we do that is because we found that a lot of athletes have no idea about the opportunities that they could have. And so it's really taken off. And like I said, we've talked with TBL, and we've been fairly connected with them now that we plan on going to several of their home games throughout this coming season to kind of cover that. And so we kind of have a deal with them going, which is really exciting. So that's kind of where we're at. And ABA has come up in conversation with basketball players, but we've never had specific ABA member or team owner or anything. So you'll be the first one to represent that, which is exciting.
Cool. Yeah, I actually went and I listened to a couple episodes after we talked earlier with both the TBL ones. And I got partway through the one, what's his name, Chris DeLeo in Thailand.
Yeah, yep.
I followed him on Twitter. One of my players got drafted to the Thailand Basketball Super League in our first year.
Okay.
So I've never really, I don't really know him, but like we've talked a couple times just on Twitter. So I checked it out and it's cool. I really like what you're doing.
So yeah, I'd like to hear what you think. As far as I know, there's nothing that gives insight to opportunities like that, right? At least not, audio or anything like that.
No, I've been looking for a while. There are a couple like sports industry things, but it's more like kind of like on a sports marketing or the business of sports side of it, but nothing from the angle that you've approached.
Okay, well, that's good news, I guess. It's also bad news, though, in the sense that even though we're doing it, there's still nobody else out there doing it. Because there's a lot of questions that players have and, you know, coaches have. Everybody has. Okay, so let's start off with having you just kind of introduce who you are and what you do.
Cool. Thank you for having me on. My name is Brian Essence Collins. I'm the CEO of Royal Air Entertainment, but I'm also the owner of the Akron Aviators professional ABA basketball team. And I'm the head of fusion marketing for the American Basketball Association.
Okay, so right off the bat, for me, there's confusion. I've said it before in other episodes. I'm no expert. I'm just learning as I go through with all of this stuff. I was under the impression ABA is not paid, or is that depends on the player or team?
It's all up to the team. Each team kind of runs things differently. You know, we have general guidelines and, you know, rules, of course, but the structure is all kind of up to the individual teams. So some teams pay very well, and some don't pay at all.
Okay, and that's, and obviously the player knows that going into it. Their team is either gonna, you know, okay. So that's kind of what gives it that confusing. You know, you can't really label the league professional, because if it was professional, then every team would pay. So semi-pro, is that how we're supposed to label the ABA?
I think for the league, that's probably fitting. I look at ours, at least my team is more minor league, but I think that's probably more just personal semantics preference.
Yeah, I guess. And yeah, the only difference would be, you know, professional, you get paid even a little bit. So, okay. Now, also, anybody who is unfamiliar with the ABA, a quick search and they might get a little even more confused, because there's two ABAs, essentially, right?
yeah, the one in Europe, and then there's ours, and then there's ours, the original one from the 60s, 70s.
Yeah, right. And so that's the one I think for the most part they'll probably run into first.
Right.
And they'll see some team names that they're familiar with. They go, hey, wait a minute, the Pacers. You go, no, wait a minute, hang on a second. There's two ABAs. Right. So are you familiar with that history? Can you walk us through a little bit of that?
Yeah. You know, so the original ABA 1967. And, you know, it was famously absorbed into the NBA in 76, was relaunched with one of the original Pacers founders, Richard Tinkham, who passed away last year, and Joe Newman. And Joe was an advertising agent who actually worked with the ABA and the Pacers. And so they worked with David Stern, actually, who just recently, a couple days ago, passed, might have even been yesterday.
Yeah, but I think it was 2 days, something like very recently.
Yeah, and worked out to kind of relaunch in 99, and I think the season officially started in 2000.
It's been going ever since then.
Yep.
Now, there are a ton of teams in the current ABA.
Yeah.
Do you have a current number or not?
Well over 100. I know there are a few who... they're not active right now, or took some time off, or, you know, there's a team that just started in Columbus, the Ohio Kings, but they joined the league a couple years ago, but they waited a couple years before officially playing their first game.
That seems so crazy that a league has well over 100 teams. A team, mm-hmm. you know, starts but doesn't really start. I don't know. It's so weird because it's so different. So when you're scheduling team, first of all, is that the role of the owner to set that kind of schedule up, or is that a league decision?
Yeah, it's up to us.
Okay, because I was gonna say there's no way you can schedule all 100 teams.
Not easily, no.
Are you? Do you have any sort of rule about making sure you schedule teams on the West Coast, or are you trying to just, you know, hang out around the state of Ohio to save money on travel?
The first year we did, you know, because we're based in Akron, Ohio, we stayed mostly within like a 6-hour radius, but we also went to La Crosse, Wisconsin, which was 13 hours away, St. Louis, which is about 8 hours away, and then we had one game in Hawaii.
Okay. And that, even like the expensive travel like that, all the way to Hawaii, mm-hmm. that's all on the team's dime, or essentially yours.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So... kind of expanding, the ABA continues to grow, but also falls in other ways, because we have teams that are there for like a year, and we'll have teams that are there a little bit longer. You said you guys have been around the Aviators for, is it year three, you said?
Yeah, this is our third year.
And was there a team in Akron before that?
Not to my knowledge. I know that there were other teams when I was in high school. There was one that played at my high school, at Stowe High School. They weren't in the ABA, but I know there was another, you know, semi-pro minor league team.
Okay.
To my knowledge, I wasn't familiar with anything, but, you know, doing a lot of work in the music industry, I also lived in other places, so
sure.
I was in St. Louis for about 5 years, and I lived in Hollywood for a little bit, so there could have been something while I was gone, but nothing on my radar.
So can I give you some downside people tell me about the ABA when I just talk to them about it? Okay. So the description I get from people outside of the ABA, to me, who doesn't know anything, is that ABA is a unorganized league of bunch of guys not really knowing what they're getting into, playing in high school gyms in front of essentially what's their family and friends, no real fan base, and not strong planning as far as the owners and how much money this is going to cost them and losing money in the end. That hurts to say to you, by the way, so I'm just going to kind of turn it off and let you go. I'm just saying what I've heard.
Sure.
Your turn.
Sure. And there's a lot of truth to that that doesn't necessarily apply to everyone, but there is truth to that. I think a part of that just goes to human beings and not researching business beforehand. One of my mom's friends, she told me when I was a kid, was opening a flower shop in a neighboring city. And my mom goes, oh, cool. Like, is there much of a market for that here? And she said, I don't know. I always wanted to own a flower shop. So I can see some people starting a team for that reason. I've seen, not just in the ABA, but I've seen parents start professional teams in a couple different sports to give their kid a chance to play.
Yeah.
You know, which is like a parent starting a record label to put their kid's music out, you know, which I've seen too.
Yeah.
there are. I think some people underestimate the work and the funding it takes to build a fan base. With all my experience in the music business, you know, and I've done everything from host local shows where it's just, you know, artists, fans, and friends and family in the audience, to we co-promoted a show at the Football Hall of Fame a couple years ago with Pitbull, you know, a sold out show. So I've been on, you know, every level of that. You know, I have a platinum plaque from Drake's album, 12 number one Billboard hits. But I've also done a lot of groundwork with very independent artists. And there are a lot of similarities between this level of basketball. And I don't mean that talent wise, but this level of, you know, operations. And like I said, some teams are great and they bring thousands of people to a game. And there are others, like you said, that might play in a much smaller gym in front of, you know, fans of, I don't know, family and friends.
Yeah.
But there is truth to that. I think some people are not prepared. Sometimes they don't do research. You know, we get emails at least 4 or 5 times a week from Joe Newman, the CEO, and he breaks down a lot of things and gives suggestions and, you know, even checklists and to-do lists and things like that. Some team owners choose not to read them or not to act on them. And some of those don't last. You know, some people don't reach out to local media. Some people don't do the what I consider the basics. And it's disappointing, I think, for a lot of people. I think that that hurts the league, obviously, because, you know, one bad experience with the team kind of makes the whole area look bad. You know, and it's funny, I had a very first year, we'd been reaching out and talking with the local newspaper, and they eventually did cover us, but at one point they told us almost verbatim, we're not going to cover you because, and we said, well, why? And they said, well, teams like you don't really last, so we figure you're not going to be around next year, so what's the point? Ouch. But, you know, eventually they came around and supported us, but, you know, there's that as well. You know, there's a stigma of just independent minor league sports, and they may not be around. But also, if the media doesn't support them, maybe they won't be around. But
that's
you don't
true.
Support them, so it's a weird cycle. But that's not the first time I've seen or heard or talked to former team owners who were affected by you know, some of the things that you just mentioned. So that does happen.
So sadly. when you get like teams who seem to have it more more together than other teams, especially when there's 100 teams at least in a league, is there ever talk or, you know, maybe not some secret closed door meeting, but feeling that you can kind of feel with other teams like, hey, you know what, maybe we're too good for this, or maybe not, or maybe the teams that are struggling are too bad for this. Like, is there ever a thought where, hey, we should clean this up, or maybe we should look somewhere else?
Yeah, I think that happens, especially if there's something that happens that frustrates you, whether a decision or, you know, things that happen, and people look at other leagues. I think they do. I'm interested. I always study every other league just out of curiosity. I want to see if there are ways to improve our league, because that's one of my main priorities. Because with so many teams, if run properly, it provides such a great opportunity for players. You know, like, so we pay, it's you know, nothing you can retire from, but it's something. And we've had 7 players in our 3 years either signed overseas or invited to training camps. You know, so I'm proud of the opportunities that it gives. And I think there are enough basketball fans to support something like this if it's run properly. But I do look at other leagues. Like I said, sometimes just, are they doing something that seems to be working? And is there something that we can use to translate to improve this? And I think the easy way out would be to look for other leagues if there's a mistake or if there's something you don't like. You know, if you don't make an effort to change it and you have the power to do it, it's partially on you now too.
Do you ever feel though, with like 100 teams at least, that your voice may be drowned out as a suggestion that needs to change a league with that many teams, that it's harder for your voice to be heard when there's that many other voices?
It could be. But then a lot of times, just again, back to just human beings, some people don't speak up. There are people who could feel the exact same way you do, and they're just waiting for someone to make the complaint or to make the suggestion or to, you know, kick things off.
So one of the benefits of taking some time to talk with me is I want to hear about you guys. I'm not sure. I'm not local radio. I don't care if you, honestly, I hope you last, but it also doesn't matter to me in a sense, because it's still a story that needs to be told. So let's hear a little bit about the Akron Aviators out in Akron, Ohio.
Absolutely. Yeah, we started this. I wasn't aware the ABA had relaunched until it was 5 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I was on a conference call. I co-host a music industry conference call every other Tuesday with my mentor, Kermit Henderson. And he's, you know, semi-retired, but he has over 200 gold and platinum records, over 200 number one hits on Billboard. So he's, you know, accomplished pretty much anything you can think of in music. And he's taken me under his wing. And I would do the interviews. So I interviewed like Jeezy, Tyrese, Layla Hathaway, Freddie Jackson. And then we'll open it up. And we have independent artists too, which is great, because this is one of his ways to give back. So instead of charging large consulting fees, hey, just join our free conference call, ask any questions you have on the industry. The independent featured artists will play your music and give you instant direct feedback from DJs all over. And anyone can kind of call in and ask questions or comment. And it's really cool.
Wow.
But with that, it was interesting. One of the people that chimed in was a guy named Harold Whaley, who had a position in the ABA. And he talked about music, and he'd worked in the industry. And he said, just for independent artists, don't forget about minor league sports. You know, there's a minor league baseball team in your city who needs a national anthem singer. There are arena football teams and independent basketball leagues that need halftime entertainment. And that's kind of what kickstarted this whole thing. You know, I've always been a lifelong fan of basketball. I've played my whole life. It got me thinking, and I reached out and contacted someone in the league, and the partnership that we'd started actually was entertainment based. You know, it was us doing after game parties and booking some singers and just general like showcases, independent concerts in a couple different cities, just as general promotion for the league. And I did that for about a year. And someone wanted to start teams in Ohio, because at the time there were no active teams in Ohio. And, you know, nothing really came of it. You know, they weren't really serious. And Joe kind of reached out and said that they had openings before they opened it up to the public if we were interested in starting a team. So it was one of those situations, Aaron. I was like, if I don't do this and somebody else does it, it's going to kill me.
Yeah.
like, whether it's good or bad, like, if someone comes and stinks it up, like, oh, you blew it, like, I wouldn't have done it like that. And if they did it and it did well, I would have been like, damn, like, I knew I should have done it. So yeah. I just said, screw it, let's do it.
So what does it look like for you guys now? Is it quite a fan base established, or are you still kind of hoping to grow that a little bit? Are you happy where that's at?
I'm always going to want to grow.
Sure.
You know, we could have 10,000 people at a game, and I'm going to want 11.
Yeah.
But it takes time. Second season, we were probably around, average probably around 150.
Okay. How does that compare? Can you think, how much, do you have any idea how that compares to the league?
I don't. I only know from our region, and we went to La Crosse, Wisconsin, which they played in an arena their first couple of years. They had, I want to say they're averaging like 4,000 a game.
Wow.
Yeah. In their first year, I think they're probably like 2,000 people when we went up there to play.
Okay.
And they're a team, like, it's run by a great guy. Their players are great. Their staff, everything was, you know, top notch, very professionally run. And I think they benefited from being in a city that's kind of excluded, you know, away from, you know, a lot of other cities. It wasn't like a downtown. It's kind of out there.
Sure. Now that's interesting, because there's ABA teams all over the country and a lot of different kinds of cities. I like the market of Akron. I think you can speak to that a little bit more. It's big enough to have a college, right. But it doesn't really have, you're going to have to help me, I don't know if it has any other minor league stuff.
The Akron Rubber Ducks baseball.
Oh, yeah. Baseball. How could I forget the Rubber Ducks?
Yep.
That's right. Okay. But... you know, how close are you to, well, let's see, who would be the next, Cleveland or Columbus would have the next, as far as any professional team in general, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Cincinnati's about a little less than 4 hours. I'd say three and a half, 3:45.
Okay.
Cleveland from me, I live about 15 minutes north of Akron, but I can get to downtown in 25 minutes. Columbus is only 2 hours south.
Okay, so you do have a close distance from another professional basketball team, albeit not very great right now, but a professional basketball team that's not far away. Okay, so how have you seen kind of the market or the city kind of come along with this ABA team in Akron?
The city's been very supportive, and I mean, and all the way up to The mayor of Akron, supportive. The mayor of Cuyahoga Falls, my neighboring city, is very supportive. The iHeartRadio stations there have been very supportive, like the Fox Sports affiliate has been very supportive. I was on the last 2 months. We did a toy drive and canned food drives the last 2 months, and they've been supportive.
Awesome.
Had me on as guests. You know, some of the local community centers and things have asked us to come do camps and clinics for the kids. So it's growing. But they've been pretty open to it. And like you said, it's a big enough city that, you know, has a major university, you know, a D1 school.
Yeah.
And, you know,
where your team specifically, where have you pulled the majority of your players from? I mean, I assume you're not recruiting LA guys. I have no idea if that's true.
Most of our guys are from Cleveland. This year I have two from Akron, and then I've got a few guys from Canton. Last year I had a guy from Youngstown, which is about an hour east. And okay. We had a guy from Sandusky. It was about an hour 40 minutes closer to Michigan side.
And is that all just fiscal reasons? Like, it doesn't make any financial sense to recruit someone from New York, or is it another reason?
When we first held the tryouts, I remember our first tryouts, we had probably like 20, 25 guys came out, and there was just a lot of talent here. Like, I didn't need to look elsewhere. I wasn't like, dang, like, we don't, there's not enough talent in Northeast Ohio. I gotta look somewhere else. I wouldn't be opposed to it. I get emails a lot. I had a father from Germany emailed me last month.
Wow.
I had two players from the Bahamas email me. I get messages, DMs and texts and emails at least once a week from somebody wanting to come out. But you know, another thing that being, you know, having a team here, we were just kind of tired of seeing a lot of talented kids train and go to combines in Michigan and Indiana and Kentucky and other places.
Sure.
Because they felt that there wasn't an opportunity here. You know, we've been fortunate that there's a lot of really talented players in this area.
So
just looking to play.
So talking about talent opportunities in Ohio does bring us to two teams in TBL that are in Ohio. We have Columbus Condors and Dayton Flight.
Dayton Flight, yep.
So how do you see this now? It's a whole state, so you have a lot of space, but how do you see the state kind of working together and all these cities and all these different teams in different leagues?
I love it. I love it. You know, and I'm a huge pro wrestling fan too, so I noticed a lot of similarities from that that translate into the basketball industry too. A lot of times the fans, especially just the casual fans, don't really differentiate between TBL, ABA, MBL, like
that's
they
true.
Don't. It's either the NBA or it's something else.
Can I say something for a second?
Please.
When I was down at TBL Draft Combine, I talked to the guy from Dallas, who you had a player who just got picked up by Dallas. That's exactly what he said. He said, you know, because I said, you know, you're splitting a city with the Mavericks. How does that work? He goes, well, if a kid's 5 years old and his dad takes him to a basketball game, he's going to see professional basketball players. That's all he knows, right? And so there's a ton of truth to that. And so I'm glad you said that. I wanted to poke at that because that is super true.
Yeah, I think in general it's good for the sport, like if the teams are run properly, of course, and you know, professionally, I think it's great for the sport. Eventually, I would love, instead of our players here going, if I want to take it a step further, I have to go overseas to get a look from the NBA. I would love for foreign players to go, dang, I got to be in the US, I got to play for the Aviators if I want to look. Like, I would love for that eventually, and I think that only happens if United States basketball, independent leagues, minor leagues, whatever you want to call us, come together and just play. I think it's great. One of the players that I mentioned earlier who got signed our first year, a guy named Tony Anderson, he played on the Ohio Bootleggers when they were in the PBL, and he got picked up. I was sending some agents footage, and you know, I really knew this kid would go somewhere. He was a young kid, like 18, 19, 6'9", really nice, you know, shots, good post work. He got picked up in Thailand. And I believe the Bootleggers became the Columbus team. I think it's the same city, but I believe they kind of switched up the branding.
Oh, okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'd have to double
that's
check.
What I was told.
That could easy be.
Because they stepped in partway through the TBL's first season and finished for a team that
yes, that is true.
Out.
Yep.
So I believe it's the same people with the rebrand. I'm sure the internet will correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I can double check it and close
and
out.
Then, cool. And then, you know, Dayton, my dad grew up in Dayton, a few hours away. I have two players now who are invited to their training camp. Yeah, so I'm happy. I think it's good, like I said, for the sport, for, you know, Ohio basketball. You know, we've got NBA, we've got G League, us. I'm really excited about the Cincinnati ABA team. I really like, and I'm glad that they waited a couple years to do it right, because I think they really did it right. Like their very first game ever, they had at least 500 some fans there, I'd say.
Wow.
The Chamber of Commerce was supportive. They sold a bunch of merchandise. They played in a nice, it was Cincinnati State technical court, so it was a really nice professional, you know, it was they're doing it the right way, so you know, I wish those guys the best, and I'd love to see more teams operate like that.
So talking more about kind of the tie between the different leagues here, you said you got two guys going to the training camp for Dayton, and you had the guy get signed by Dallas. It sounds like that you look at that as a blessing for those guys and basketball in general in Ohio and the United States in general. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you don't feel any sort of rivalry between the two leagues? They can coexist and actually help develop basketball?
I think so.
You would.
Because we don't have, I mean to cut you off, but we don't have the the structured system like European soccer. It's either college basketball or NBA, or like that's it. Like that's how a lot of people look at
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that, you know, minor league baseball exists in that tiered system and that developmental system. I think that's important. And we don't have that here, at least not yet.
Does that then open up, because what makes baseball a little bit different is college is a lot more optional. And is that
true?
Is that the case with ABA? I don't know specifically their rules on like high school and stuff. There's no college restriction for ABA, is there?
No, it's just 18 and up.
Okay, so essentially they could just graduate just like baseball mm-hmm. and go get paid. And okay, sweet. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Okay, so we get a lot of players that listen. And so now they know there's an ABA team out in Akron who has opportunities, yep. and that is one of the teams in the ABA that pays. What is your pitch for somebody in the Ohio area looking to play basketball? Why should they give the Aviators a shot, get a hold of you, make it to a combine, whatever?
The first thing that I ask any player, and it's the same thing that I'd ask any artist that I work with, is what are your ultimate goals? Because that lets me know whether or not we're the right fit for you. You know, obviously I want the best on and off the court players that we can get, but what is your ultimate goal? If your goal is, look, man, I want to play and get as high up in the chain as I can. If I can make it to the league, that's great, but I want to get as far as I can and make a living playing basketball. Cool. Well, just in 2.5 years, I've had 7 players picked up overseas, drafted overseas, drafted to other leagues, invited, you know, G League workouts. Like, we have enough contacts, and I care. Like, I care about these guys. Like, I care about their actual lives. It's not like, okay, here's practice time, show up. Okay, this is game time, show up here to catch the bus. Like, I actually care about
them. Yeah.
Like, I want these guys to do well. And if they do well with me, and this is a launching pad afterwards, that only helps me too. Like, yeah, there's some guys I'd hate to lose. Like, of course, like Josh Keyes is an amazing player. I hate to lose him, but I'm happy for him. Like, I want him to do well and go as far as he can, and that helps us.
Yeah,
because he'll tell people that, yo, Brian looked out for me. Like, I had great experience with the Aviators. He won championships overseas already. He was trying to stay here in the States, coming back home. This was a good place for him to play competitively, get stats and footage, and, you know, see what opportunities there were for him. So if you want to launch your career, if you want to play somewhere else, you want to grow, go as far as you can, we're a good team for you. If you played overseas, maybe, or you just, you're happy playing competitively, maybe you have kids here, maybe you have a great job, but you still want to keep playing basketball. Man, I got a great competitive team, and now you're a person I can build the team around. You can be the face of the team. We can put you on flyers. We can promote you, things like that. So it kind of depends on what you want out of it. Like, if you at this level, like as of right now, if you're expecting to, you know, like I said, retire from the payments and things like that, just, you know, if you're expecting $1 million contracts, you know, come back in a couple years and we'll talk. but if you want to play competitively, you get to travel, record our games. You know, we have a deal with Zingo TV. All the Aviators games we're streaming on Zingo, and they're on demand there as well. We use the 805 stats program, which I'm told syncs with like US Basket and Eurobasket and all that. If that's what you want in a growing city, the city of Akron itself is growing. They're putting a lot of money into just developing the downtown and bringing more businesses there. Like, in the next 5 years, Akron's going to be a really cool place to live. So if those are your goals, let me know. If you just want to play for a little while, and just let me know. It's a conversation. What is it that you're looking for? And I'll let you know if we're the right fit.
A couple of things they typically want to know: what they can expect as far as, mm-hmm. Is there any sort of buyout, or can they leave freely?
Sure. So as far as buyouts, I don't have anything like that, because I don't want to hinder anyone. The only thing I ask is just for the common courtesy to let me know.
Sure.
Like, I don't want to be ghosted by someone like, yo, man, this dude's not coming to practice. Are you coming to the game? Like, should we keep the van for you? Like, what's up? And someone goes, oh, no, man, he's overseas. Like, that's just common human decency that's unacceptable to me. But just let me know.
Yeah.
You know, that's all I ask. And then that's it. Just let me know. Hey, man, I'm talking to this team. Or, hey, man, I have this opportunity. Okay, cool. Like, because that's something, because I travel so much for music and things, that I know someone in most major cities and a lot of places in Asia and Europe, too. Like, I don't know, maybe I can help you with something. Maybe it's just, hey, here's a friendly face can speak English if you need help. You know, just, that's all.
As far as money they could maybe expect?
We'll talk.
Okay.
Tell them to call me.
Okay. you want to give me a little rundown on what you did in Thailand?
Yeah, it was really cool. I went to Webster University in St. Louis. It's a small school, but they have a large international reach, and they're really proud of it. And they had a really awesome study abroad program where if you come to Webster for 1 year and you promise to come back for one semester, they'll buy you a round-trip flight anywhere in the world.
Wow.
Yeah, so they have 7 sister campuses. There's like Geneva, there's a school in Japan, one in London, Webster University, Thailand, a few others. And I just figured, well, I better get my money's worth. I'll go as far away from St. Louis as possible.
That's a good thought.
And man, I was like 20. I think I just turned 21. I was a junior. And I had an apartment on the beach. Like, I was set. Like, that was sweet. And one of my friends, a guy named Chris Warren, he's from Florida. He was studying there. Told me he heard about some cash tournament, a basketball tournament coming up. And we put the team together. You know, I ran the practices. I designed the jerseys. I like player coached it. I got the school to provide busing for all our students to the games. They sponsored the uniforms and actually paid and got them made for us. And it wasn't until I did one of my first interviews, when I announced that we're starting the team, that my friend Flacco at the Devil Strip magazine pointed out, like, oh, well, so you've kind of been doing this already. You just didn't know it. So like, and that's when it hit me. I was like, okay, I actually have some experience in this, because just looking at it, I was like, you know, I've never ran a pro basketball team before, but I kind of have. Like, I did the practices. I came up with the uniforms. I got sponsors. I organized transportation. Like, I promoted the games. Like, I did.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was a great experience.
That's sweet. Anything else you think we need to talk? I know you have an extensive history in the music industry as well. Anything you want to add? I don't care. Whatever it is, anything you think we missed about the Aviators, your time in Thailand?
I think one thing I would like to remind any coaches or owners listening is that how much of this game is psychological. And that comes down to really understanding and knowing what motivates your players. And that comes from just building relationship with them. You know, there's some players you can tell them, you know, just be real straight up and blunt with them, and other people don't respond well to that.
Sure.
Some people you can go, man, you guys are playing like crap. Like, this is awful. And some people are like, it's not going to motivate them. Some people are like, all right, I'll show you. Like, we got to turn this around. Like, people are different. And if you don't understand that, you'll never get the best performance out of your players. You just won't. One example, one of our point guard, Malik Billingsley, he's been with us all 3 years. He's the reigning ABA All-Star 3-point champion and also Skills Challenge champion. And the first time we played this game in Pittsburgh, for whatever reason, like, their fans were just heckling him, like, just him. Like, I mean, like, their scorer's table was like, oh, man, he's terrible. Like, he can't play. Like, I said, bro, do you know those people?
Really?
He's like, man, I've never met them before in my life. Whatever reason, they picked on him. He missed some shot, and they're like, I knew it. You can't shoot. He just turns and looks at him, doesn't blink, and goes, all right. He had 7 threes in a row that night. Just
unconscious. Good.
Anytime he walks into that gym, that's their shooter. Don't leave him open. Like, that motivated him. And like, bro, you can't play. You can't shoot. You can't do this. He's like, okay. That works on someone like him. There are other people you need to find out how to motivate them, what their goal is with it. And like I said, that all goes back to knowing your players. So if you have a player that you know has the ability to do something but is underperforming, you just got to talk to him. You know, spend your time, and that goes back to just caring about your players and just knowing who they are. You know, I think the ABA provides a great opportunity in being able to start teams. You know, we have so many, I know it's the largest independent sports league. There's a minor league soccer league that has over 100 teams all over the U.S.
Wow.
NPSL, I think it is. I know they have about 100 teams, but the ABA is proud that it allows so many minorities, men, women. We have Native American-owned teams. We have people with disabilities who own teams. It allows different types of people to operate a professional basketball team. And I think that that's really cool. I know it does get a lot of flack, and I won't say that it doesn't deserve it sometimes.
Sure.
But, you know, at the end of the day, there's a responsibility that all of us as team owners have to run things properly. It's easy to blame the league, and you should have a better vetting process. Why did you let these people? I get it, and I don't necessarily disagree sometimes, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, take pride in your work. I don't think that we need to be afraid of other teams, other leagues, other players. Don't be afraid if a player is upset and wants to leave. Like, go ahead. If you don't want to be here, I don't want you here.
Yeah.
That's fine. You have to be okay with that. You have to be okay with, like you said, there's the TBL's trying to expand, and they've got two teams in my state, and that's fine. That's fine. I think it'd be great to to work together if they can provide what they claim they can. That's a great opportunity. I love it. I think we should all be more fluid and open. You never know what kind of relationships you can build or how you can help somebody else out.
Awesome. Thank you. That was very helpful. That was good. And it was a great way to be our first ABA.
Awesome.
There's a lot of options out there, and that was a great start. So I appreciate it very much. What is the ABA season span?
The ABA season starts November through March, like the first, second week of March.
So you're in the middle of it.
Yeah. The division playoffs are in March, and the final eight series is in like second week of April.
So there's a realistic possibility if you make it to the, even in the playoffs in general, you're going to play teams you've never seen all year or in a couple of years.
Absolutely. Oh,
sweet. Okay. Well, how's the season going so far?
So far, so good. It took a little longer for things to, like, gel this year.
Sure.
We got a lot of new players with a lot of great experience. We got a guy who played against Duke in – he played for Robert Morris, our big guy.
Oh.
So we got some guys from – got some great overseas experience. One played in China. Got one who played in El Salvador. Josh Keys. One of our guys, Matt Shuren, who was invited to the Dayton Flight training camp. He went to John Carroll and was in the D3 Sweet 16. So we've got guys who've got, you know, really good experience. Took a little longer to you know, get it to where I want it to be, but we're fine. We got plenty of time to the playoffs, so I'm not worried.
Well, good luck. As of any team or person who interviews with me, I'm always watching. So I'll be watching Akron Aviators, and I'll let everybody else who's following me know too. So we appreciate it very much, man. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I really appreciate you.
No problem, man. Have a good day.
You too.
One of the things I said I was going to do in the intro was address what Brian Collins said about the Jacksonville Giants and their success. I mentioned that I forgot to interview it, ask him during the interview, and so I had to send him a message afterwards and see what he thought about it and get his response and add it to it. So when the interview was over, I sent him a message saying, you know, the Jacksonville Giants have won 6 out of the last 8. Does it bode poorly for a league that has well over 100 teams that one team is winning the championship that many times? I even pointed out that even in a league of 30 teams, that many championships is ridiculous. Not to mention the fact that this league has 4 or almost 5 times as many teams as a league of 30. His response, he just responded back and said, kind of pointed out the fact that not only have they won this many, but four of these have been consecutive championships. Just adding to that, he says, you know, they're a very great and talented and well-funded team. The last year, when they only lost one game, that one game that they lost was the team they ended up beating in the finals. Brian, you know, points out that at times it does feel like the Yankees or the Celtics, or when the Steelers won four Super Bowls in 6 years in the 1970s. And he does question the idea of, you know, will it ever get boring for that team if they keep winning? And I think that's a really fair question. I've always asked and thought, you know, I remember I used to work with a huge Alabama football fan, or Alabama fan, she's from Alabama. And I'd always ask, does it ever get boring knowing that your team's probably going to go 11-1 or 12-0 and then play in the championship at some point? If not this year, then probably next year. Although this year kind of put a wrench in that. But, you know, I asked, does that ever get boring? And to an Alabama fan, at least, her response was, of course not. Why would it get boring? Why would winning get boring? But from the outside, it does kind of seem like it might in some cases. And maybe that's not a fair example. Maybe it is. But this Jacksonville Giants scenario does at least bring up the question of, is it boring to keep winning? Is the competition ever going to catch up to you? Are the Jacksonville Giants in the wrong spot? Does the ABA have way too many teams? Does the ABA need divisions? Does the ABA need to purge out teams that don't belong? Do succeeding teams need to leave and look for another league, either by force or by choice? Like, should they choose to be going to somewhere better? Should there be something else out there for them? Is there a market for the division of these teams? Past guests will suggest things like TBL, the basketball league, could open the door for some of these teams that don't necessarily fit. I mean, if you look at the ABA as a whole, you have teams that have a brand and haven't played a basketball game, or plenty of teams that haven't finished seasons because either they run out of money or they just kind of, you know, throw in the towel mid-season. And then you have teams like the Jacksonville Giants that win this many times consecutively. And so it really does raise the question as the league as a whole. And we talk to, like you just heard, we talk with Brian Collins, who has the Aviators. He seems confident. It's going well, it seems like, which is great. Hope it goes real well for him. It seems like he's got a great market for it. We did mention that Akron does seem like a perfect market for that. And he mentioned Cincinnati is going to be a good market. So that's exciting. And we all hope it goes well, really, truly. And we'll be watching him too, so that'll be kind of exciting. But we do wonder, what about some of these other teams that are struggling, or the fact that historically there's been teams that couldn't finish throughout the seasons? Does something need to change? Or is it going to continue working like this? Or is this success for the ABA? Who knows? I think as time goes on, we'll kind of look at it. We're looking at the outside and watching TBL grow, and we're going to see how they work with the ABA, or maybe not as with the ABA. We're going to see how that relationship develops and see what happens. Part of the reason why we think there's so many teams in the ABA is because there's really no other place. There's no other league for a team. At least there wasn't a couple years ago. So yeah, we have well over 100 teams in the ABA because it was ABA, G League, or the NBA. Okay, well, Akron's not going to have a team in the NBA. And it took them this long to get a team in the ABA. Up until just a few years ago, it was, like I just said, the G League or the NBA or the ABA. That's why you have so many teams in the ABA. The other thing is, the startup, everything you may need for an ABA team is significantly lower than anything else, any other option, until a few years ago when we started getting TBL. That's why all you basketball fans in the United States, you're going to want to keep a close eye on both of those leagues to see how they work with each other or not with each other, how that relationship is going to develop and possibly fester in the United States. Hopefully not. We always hope for good, congruent growth, but watch that, because at not too long ago the ABA was meeting a market where there really wasn't much of an option, and now you have another league. So watch that, see what happens, see how this works together, and see if we do see any drastic changes. All in all, I really did love the interview. Brian Collins was a fantastic guest. Thank you again, Brian. Fantastic. I hope for the best for the Akron Aviators. Like I said, I think Akron's an awesome market choice. That's really cool. Although I did go to Western Michigan, so any of those MAC schools in Ohio, kind of, yeah, this is dumb. I had an NGIT guest who broke my heart beating Michigan, and then the next week I got somebody representing Akron when I went to Western. I really gotta branch out and find something else, go in a different area of the United States. But more power to you, Akron Aviators. We hope for the best. Like I said, I will be watching. I always watch my past guests to just see how you guys grow, and hopefully check in and do a follow-up for our listeners later to see what has become of our past guests. So, Brian, thanks for your time. We really appreciate it. More power to you. Hope everything goes well with the Aviators. And those of you out in Akron, be sure to go give them a visit. Thank you all for making it through another episode. A couple things I got a quick run through and then we'll be done. First, if you haven't already, go ahead and follow us on our different key platforms. First, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin. Also, Instagram, at globallyballinofficial, and then Twitter, at globallyballin. The Instagram and Twitter are by far our most active, and they're also very different content. They're actually run by different people. So go ahead and make sure you're following both of those, and they'll also both alert you for when something new is posted, either in the podcast or Patreon, which I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, when it comes to the Facebook account seems less active, and we're aware of that. It's different kind of content, and more is coming to the Facebook page, so you'll want to like it to make sure you're ready when a new wave of different content, which is coming soon, starts to make its way on there, which is exciting. Finally, though, is the Patreon. So if you go to patreon.com and then you search Globally Ballin, you're going to find our account. $3 a month, and with that, you're going to get a couple of things. First, shout out to all the supporters, which is great, which is actually also really good for any of you athletes out there. It's a great way to get your name, your brand, your place where people can find your highlight tapes, all that stuff. That'll be plugged in our episodes, which is great. So if you become a patron for the $3 a month, you'll get that. In addition, though, what we're really kind of excited about, not that we're not excited about the other one, is that you're going to get a bunch of extra content. It's going to be different from when I originally recorded this to when you're listening to this now. We're going to keep adding to it. There's a lot of different stuff. It might just be extra stuff that didn't fit into an episode. And there's also a whole new different kind of content called Candid Conversations, which is basically a whole new show that we started. As the name suggests, it's a conversation between me and somebody else. For whatever reason, it doesn't fit into an episode. And if you go check out one of those Candid Conversations, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. So that $3 a month, you're going to get your shout out and your help to support your brand or get attention to your highlight reel or whatever, plus a lot of extra detailed, fun content in addition to this free podcast. So go and check that out. Refresher, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/globallyballin, Instagram at globallyballinofficial, Twitter at globallyballin, and Patreon, patreon.com, search Globally Ballin, and you'll find, do the $3 a month patron if you're interested, and get all new content, a bunch of additional content. If that's not for you, totally fine. We still really appreciate you supporting and listening. If you have any suggestions, make sure you send us a message. Again, because we're most active on Instagram and Twitter, that's the best way to send us a suggestion. We'd be happy to listen and try to get anybody in that area and that sport, that country, that topic that'll help you best. So make sure you send us one of those requests. Otherwise, thank you again for listening. You'll hear from us again next week.